Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we love you, we need you. Oh my gosh, do we need you today? Gosh, Lord, it's amazing how much can happen from Sunday to Sunday. But God, we need you, we love you, we trust you. We bless you, God, because you've blessed us so much. And now we ask, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Give us the ears to hear, not only to hear, but to discern, God, to understand what your word is speaking to us. How do we apply it to our life? How can we allow your word to transform our life, to renew our minds, God, so that we can be that new creation in you that you've made us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit? So speak to our hearts now. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, we need you today more than ever. Holy Spirit, speak now. We open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to his body, to his people, to his church today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 9 and 27. We'll do a quick recap, quick review, and then we'll go ahead and get into today's message. So as we've been going over the message, Jesus is the light of the world, in the book of Matthew 5, I think it's 14, Jesus passed the baton to us and said that we are the light of the world. Then as we've been studying, it's either light or dark. That's the most important aspect of life. It's light and dark. Either you're light or you're dark. There's no in between. There's no chameleons in the kingdom of God where you can change colors depending on the situation. You have to be light or dark, and that's that. All our encounters, God allows us to have divine encounters daily. But if we don't understand it, those encounters become lower level fleshly encounters. It's either going to be divine or it's going to transfer into a lower level fleshly encounter. That's everybody we meet. Either we're letting our light shine or we get distracted and start talking about stuff that really doesn't matter. We all have to follow something. And either we live as determined disciples, determined to finish this year strong, determined to pray, determined to fast, determined to stay connected to God. Either we're a determined disciple or we will live as a defeated disciple. And we have to make that choice. We talked about not opening our Bibles once a week. Amen. Can't take a shower once a week and expect it to work all week. Somebody say amen. And depending on where you live at or what you're doing that day, the shower doesn't last all day. Amen. It all depends on what you're doing, Sister Tara. I'm not going to get in your business, but I'm saying it won't last all day. So we can't expect our Sunday morning in the Word. We can't expect it to last. I'm telling you, family, you know how tough it is out there. When we leave this sanctuary this morning, some foolishness, the enemy's going to send some foolishness to try and catch us slipping and sleeping. So we got to stay connected through the Word. So we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. That's what Psalms 23, as I go through, don't stop. God's taking us through. Somebody, God's taking you through right now. He said, but don't fear. I mean, we have to go through. Some things we have to go through, family. That's why it's so important to stay connected to God. So verse 27, he answered them and said, I've told you already and you did not hear. You didn't understand. You didn't discern. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you become his disciples? So underline here, which means to discern, to understand. He's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees, these are the religious folks. These are the folks whose heart is hardened, and they just don't understand that Jesus is God. He's talking to them. This incredible miracle, a man was born blind. And now he can see he's talking to them and they don't even get it. It's like people don't understand the resurrection. Jesus was resurrected 40 days and he preached and he taught. Was seen by over 500 at one time and they still didn't get it. So you got to pray for discernment for your family, your friends, your loved ones. You can't get upset. You got to pray for discernment. But here they are. They're with a man who they know was born blind. And they still don't get it. I mean, just think about that miracle. He's talking to us some kind of way. He was blind from birth. He's a man now. And he's trying to say that Jesus did it. He's saying, do you want to become his disciple? They don't get it. So you can't get upset with people today when you try and show them, look at the world falling apart. And they don't get it. So pray for discernment. That's what he said. Will you guys discern it this time? Will you understand it this time? Pray for discernment. Don't get upset. Then verse 28, they went off on him and said, you know, you're his disciple, but we're a Moses' disciple. So they chose to follow Moses. We talked about it last week. Moses didn't even make it to the promised land. All right. So you're going to choose somebody that didn't even make it. But we do it now. We choose things that aren't godly. But here's the deal. Whatever you put all your heart and your trust in and your strength, that's what you're depending on to save you when you stand before God. Let me say it again. Whatever you put your heart and your trust in, that's what, when I stand before God, I'm going to whip out my political party card, but show God my bank statement, my intelligence and my skill. I'm going to say, well, God, here's my degrees. I'm going to say, God, look at the color of my skin. You know what we went through. And then he's going to hold up his hands. He's going to see the nail prints. He's going to say, no, I don't understand none of that. You trying to tell me about going through something? So then I'm going to say, how about my job or my country? You know where I'm from, God. My favorite team, my celebrity, my brand, my favorite athlete. The lies I tell. That's what I'm depending on is going to save me. I'm going to try and swindle my way when I talk to God because I got the gift of gab. I'm going to get through this. Whatever you're trusting in, that's what you're depending on to save you when you stand before God. It's going to be a sad day for a lot of people. That's why we let our light shine. We get the word out. So then we get to verse 29 and they say, we know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from. And it's just that when you have your mind made up, you don't want to hear it. People don't want to submit, surrender to God. It's spiritual warfare at the highest level, family. You're not wrestling against a person. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So you got to remember that. Just let your light shine. I don't know if it's any of us in here the first time we heard the gospel that we were wide open to it and just ran to it. Amen. I know it took me a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, maybe 20, maybe 30. And then some kind of way it clicked. So be patient with people. Be loving. Remember, we talked last week. Make a note. Our meditation scriptures. What was it? Galatians 5:19 through, let's say, 26. And then 1 Corinthians 13:3 through 11. That's the fruit of the Spirit and the love of God. That's how we deal with people. Can't get upset. Thank God somebody just didn't give up on me and you and I. Because the head was hard and the heart was hard. We want to try and talk about the other things that are above Jesus and it doesn't work. So then we get to verse 30. The man gives a sermon. The man answered and said unto them, man, here's a marvelous thing that is done. And you don't know where it's, and you don't know where he's from, and yet he's opened my eyes. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, man, you want to argue about where he's from? A miracle just happened, man. Look at my life. He opened it. Never, he's going to go on to say, never in the history of mankind has it been talked about that somebody born blind, their eyes were open. His first sermon, he's given a sermon. And then he's a primary source or a primary resource. It's not me telling you about the resurrection. It's him standing there saying that his eyes were open. But then Jesus shared the resurrection with over 500 people at once, and everybody still didn't get it. So I don't know. Sometimes we just don't want to get it. But here he is. He's saying he's opened my eyes. He gives a sermon. He takes a stand for Christ. Take a stand for Christ. People say, well, I don't believe in that Jesus. Just remember, no word, no scripture, just your testimony. He's changed my life. Well, people's lives change for different, but I'm telling you that Jesus Christ changed my life. Family, don't be afraid to give God the glory. We want to glorify all kind of other stuff. But let's give God the glory. Open your mouth and give God the glory. That's part of your light shining every encounter you have. So this is not secondhand information. Make a note, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8, Jesus spoke to over 500 people at once after he was resurrected. Some still didn't get it. That's why we pray for discernment for our unsaved friends and family. And co-workers, don't get upset with your co-workers. Pray for them. Believe God that someday they'll get it. Same thing with family and friends and loved ones. I don't think anything that's more important than your eternal destination. All this other stuff is temporary. We talk about it all the time. Enjoy it. Do your thing, enjoy, but don't elevate anything over Christ. Amen. Do your thing and enjoy it, but don't elevate anything over Christ. So now it gets deep. It shifts and it gets deep. So now I got to take you a little deep. All right. Did I tell y'all I love y'all in a long time? Did I tell y'all that? All right. I love y'all. All right. Okay. As we used to say when we first started, it's deep, but it's not complicated. All right. Look, here's this guy there in the temple. So either he was some kind of way he's in the temple now. When Jesus, he came out of the temple, he passed him. So some kind of way they're back in the temple because they're getting ready to kick him out of the temple. But while he's sitting there and he's blind, Sister Hazel, he's hearing this. And you all know that just by way of if you're blind, then your hearing is heightened. So I guess he's sitting there and he's hearing all this while he's sitting, people going in and out of the temple. He's learning about God just by hearing, because we know he couldn't read it. I don't think they had Braille back then. So he's going to repeat what he's heard. Oh, this dude is starting to preaching. Look what he says in where we at? Verse 30. All right. Oh, okay. Verse 30. Man answered, said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence it is. And yet he hath opened my eyes. Bam. Here we go. Verse 31. Here's the preaching part. Now we know. How do you know? Underline that. Let's talk about what we know. Now we get into the word. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Uh-oh. Ooh. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he will hear him. Now we're talking about what we know. How does he know this? Darius, let's go to, let's talk about what we know. Let's go to the 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. So he's preaching to the Pharisees now, something they should know because it's in the word. In some kind of way, he knows what's in the word. So it goes to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you're there, say amen, because you want to see this for yourself. This is what we do know based on the word. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear. Then I will hear. He said, we know that God does not hear sinners. This is what we do know. That sin has to be confessed and forsaken. So I kind of broke it down in 2 Chronicles 7. If my people, that's us, family, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. But he's talking about us as believers, as Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, look at the first thing he says. You got to humble yourself. That's why the Pharisees couldn't get it, because they couldn't humble themselves, because they knew everything, because they were religious and self-righteous. In the Hebrew, the word humble is kana, K-A-N-A. It means to humiliate yourself. It's tough to be on the job and people are clowning you and family is clowning you because now you go to church and you're a Jesus freak and they're humiliating you. But God says the only way that we're going to be connected is if you get humiliated for my name's sake. Ain't that something? We could get humiliated for a lot of things and wouldn't care and brag about it. You get drunk at a party, fall out, pass out, everybody laughing, slapping you around. You don't even know it. You wake up, oh, that was such a good time. We had such a good time. Really? You can get humiliated for that, but then we can't get offended because they want to clown us because we love God now. We humiliate ourselves with all kinds of do stuff, wear stuff, say stuff. Get dressed up on Halloween, look like anything crazy, and but then when we get humiliated for Christ, we get offended. Trying to hang out with the wrong crowd, and they're talking about us and putting us down, and we're the joke, we're the butt of the jokes, and all that kind of stuff, and then we go hang out with them again. But then when we're taking a stand for Christ and they say something, we get offended. We can get humiliated for everything else, and it's a problem. Well, it's not a problem, but then we don't want to get humiliated. We don't want to speak up. We don't want to do something really simple like pause and pray over our food in the break room, because it's going to be humiliating. Everybody's going to watch me. Everybody's going to look at me. But at happy hour, you're taking that drink, and everybody's watching, and you're okay. Did I tell y'all I love you? I did tell you that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. But he's just saying we got to get past the first part so we can get connected to God. The Pharisees, it says, read this, so I got to read it. The Pharisees were filled with that satanic pride, because that's where it comes from. Remember, Satan got kicked out. He said, I want to be like the Most High. God said, I created you. He said, God, I want to take over. He said, how can you take over? And I created you. Get out. And it's always satanic pride. And it's the reason people reject Christ. The number one reason. Amen. Selfishness, narcissistic pride. It's a major stronghold. That's why God said, in order for us to be connected, we got to start here. is destroyed and decimated. Relationships, marriages, siblings, jobs, business, and it's ugly. When we take communion today, God, let's ask God to forgive us for our stupid pride. And God, please restore relationships that we've messed up. I'm not looking at you all. I'm looking at the ones I messed up with my stupid pride. Because when pride is present, there's no relationship. It's only a disconnect. Going to stand before God and try and tell God he doesn't understand. Christ has the scars to prove his humiliation for us while we didn't care nothing about him. And we can't be humiliated for him? Let me say that again. Christ has the scars to prove he was humiliated for us so we could be saved. And we can't take a stand for him? All right, so look, Pastor, you're going way off. I told you I'm going to be all over the place, all right? If my people which are called by my name, number one, we got to humble ourselves, and then we got to pray. We got to seek, which means go after the presence of God, his face, and not always his hand. All right, God, give me God. I need to say just the presence, just his face, just be in the presence of God and just chill and rest and relax. And I'm telling you, early morning is the best time. Wake up, seek in his face. Give him 5 minutes before you get caught up in everything else. And he said, then we got to turn from our wicked ways. Wicked, wouldn't be no misunderstanding. What wicked is, let's see. 7:40. Oh, wicked, my goodness. Evil, bad, miserable, complaining, unkind. You think it's out doing something real crazy. It's just like being unkind and complaining and sad and unhappy, hurtful, wrong, unpleasant, displeasing actions. So we've got to get away from all that stuff. He said, then he will hear. And that word hear means to grant request. Then he will heal. Rapha, we've talked about it. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Look what heal says. He will make healthful and restore favor. Let me see. When we humble ourselves and then pray, seek his face, go after his presence, in turn, get rid of God, forgive me for all this other foolish stuff. Then he will hear, he will grant the request from heaven. He will forgive the sin, which means he will pardon it, and will heal, make healthy, and restore favor. The land, include your life in that too. This, he said, let's talk about what we know. We know God doesn't hear sinners. So what are you saying? I'm saying if you out there, you practicing sin. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. And I don't care what God says. Then I don't know what God you're praying to, because God does not hear your prayer. Only if it's a prayer of repentance. And that's when you humble yourself and pray, say, God, I've done all I can. And my life is a mess. And I thought I was in control of my life, but I'm not. But God, forgive me. I need help. He says, then I hear you. Okay. Now you got to turn from your wicked ways. Get rid of all that stuff. Then I'm going to hear. I'm granting a request and I'm going to heal. I'm going to restore favor. Go make things healthy again. But if you doing your own thing and talking about this is who I am and I don't change for nobody. God's not hearing that. And family, I'm not going to have us go out of here fooling ourselves. Thinking that God is hearing our prayer and we out stuck on stupid doing our own thing. The Pharisees, they had all the, and you could look like you got it all together. The Pharisees looked like it, but they were disconnected from God because they couldn't humble themselves, which is the first thing. Okay, all right, Pastor, you still talking? I am. Let me show you. Some kind of way, this guy, he knew it. All right, let's go to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Now, remember, I've challenged you 3-4 years ago. I know it's been at least 3. I don't know if it's 4 because I can't remember. All right. But I know it's been three to daily read the Proverbs, right? And I'm going to tell you why, because when you read it on that day, when you read Proverbs 6 today and it talks about the seven things that God hates, oh my gosh. The first one is what? A proud look. There's that pride, the pride again. I'm telling you, but I'm not even going. I said three, didn't I? Look at, that's why I'm at. You just, it reminds you. It gives you the wisdom to navigate through life successfully. Let's go to Proverbs 3:32. Now I'm going to say this. We all know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on. We know that. And we believe it. Look at 3:15. Says, wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto wisdom. Look what's in wisdom's, in her right hand. Verse 16, length of days is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. What are you looking for? Do you really want length of days? Do you not want length of days and riches and honor? It comes from God's wisdom. We need to be reminded that on the third of each month, you need to be reminded, who do you work for and where does it come from? Because what's the point of having riches and honor and your days are going to be cut short? So if we believe that and we stand on that, God is good, trust in the Lord, and then we get to 32. He says, for the perverse is a disgusting to the Lord, and his secret is with the righteous, those that are, his secret counsel is with those that live right. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. You are doing, God is, you know, your house is not even blessed. Don't let anything in your house. Don't be out shacking up, pack up and get out. You want to believe Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You want to believe 3 and 15 to give riches and honor. And then you get to 32 and you can't ignore it. I'm not going to let us walk out of here fooling ourselves. The blind man said, this is what we know. If you out practicing sin and wickedness, God's not listening to you unless you're confessing that stuff and humbling yourself. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Justified, and we're justified through Jesus Christ, not because of what we did. And we're righteous because of Jesus Christ, not because of what we did. All right, Pastor, I told you I'm all over. Now let's go to Proverbs 15. I'm going to wrap this up really quickly, and we're going to take communion, and I love y'all. 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is disgusting to the Lord. The offering of the wicked is disgusting to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. And let me bring it all the way home. Let's stay in 15. That's why I read this every day, because it's reminding me, don't fool yourself. The 15:29 makes it as plain as it can be. Here we go. This is what we know. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of those that are living right, those that are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, those that are confessing their sins. Amen. The man said, let's talk about what we know. You're trying to say Jesus is not of God, but this is what we know. And Jesus had been telling him since his first encounter with the man, God set you up. It's not a setback. Who sinned? Why is this man born blind? Who sinned, his mom or him? No, it's a setup from God. It's about God. It's about God. He smeared the dirt, put it on his eyes, and he's able to see. He's been telling him it's all about God. He's telling him he's from God. In chapter 8, he told him he was God. The man has been hearing everything that's going on, and he's saying, let's talk about what we know. He said he's from God, and we know that God does not hear the prayers of the wicked. That's what we know. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hear the prayer of the righteous. All right, Pastor, you almost done? I'm almost done. 28:13, Proverbs. (Clears throat) You there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. 28:13. He that covers his sins, all right, the person that conceals their sin, and sin is broken down to rebellion, disobedience, or defiance. When you conceal, and not to people, I don't care, people don't know, you just remember, we answer to God. When you conceal your rebellion and disobedience and defiance, you will not, that word prosper does not mean talking about money, it's talking about make progress. You will not make progress with God. People want to take the word prosper and turn it into a prosperity gospel. That's not what this is saying. It's saying if you're concealing and you're in rebellion and disobedience and defiance, you're not going to make progress with God. But when you confess, amen, and that word is yada in the Hebrew. It means when you cast out. It also means to praise. But when you confess and abandon the sin, then you shall find compassion from God. Man, so let's talk about what we know. If you're not connected to God, then God's not answering you. If Jesus wasn't connected to God, there's no way he could make a man born blind to see. It's contrary to the scriptures. And the blind man is preaching to the Pharisees who supposedly knows the scriptures. So here's a revelation. I'm going to read this and then we're going to try and take communion and get out of here. Amen. All right, family, I wrote it. It says, read this. So, Kathy, I got to read it. All right. The enemy is a counterfeit. He will make things happen in your life, and you'll give credit to a God. Make that a little God. But if you are deliberately practicing and not forsaking the sin in your life, make no mistake, it's the God of this world, not the true and living God. It's not about stuff. It's about light and dark. Are you walking in the light or are you living in darkness and pretending to walk in the light? It's a matter of the heart and confessing and forsaking sin daily. You all understand that?
Yes.
It's a matter of the heart. It's about confessing and forsaking sin daily. Listen to this. Don't be deceived by the orderly system of deception that we call the world, which was created by Satan, telling you that you need something to be something. Family, we are already something. We are a special treasure to God. Don't let the enemy cause you to live like trash. All the things we see are a mirage and meaningless. Enjoy them, but just know they're mirage and meaningless. It's about light and dark, and that's it. And Christ is the light. Everything else is darkness. People don't get it. We understand that. All right. Let's go back to John 9, and let's finish this for today. So a few more points I want to make, and then we're going to finish. Amen. And take communion and confess and forsake the sin and forgive. Amen. It's not about us. It's about what Christ has done for us. Verse 31. Man, I love this. I love the word of God. Now we know that God, listen, we're talking about what we know. You should have it under the line. That God doesn't hear sinners. But if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, God hears him. Somebody underline that. Verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Since the world began to say, never have. Here's this dude preaching, man. He's preaching the word. Then he says it, and he's going to drop the mic right here. If this man were not of God, he's preaching to the preachers. If this man were not of God, he couldn't do nothing. And he dropped the mic. And we're going to break down the other part, but we see what happens in 34. Look, they answered and said, man, you was altogether born in your sins. And you're going to teach us? That's right. They kicked him out. Now we're going to break that down next time. But let's go back to verse 33. If this man were not of, come on, somebody, let that get in your spirit now. If Jesus was not God, he couldn't do any. If this man, he got it. This is at some point we came to this realization that if Jesus was not God, he couldn't have resurrected from that grave. This man were not of God, he could do nothing. Just bow your heads, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion. God, we know we got a lot of junk in our trunk. We know we got a lot of stuff. Tries to separate us from you. And God, we're not going to confuse our struggles with practicing sin. There's a difference. We all struggling with something, but we ain't practicing no type of sin, God. And if we are, we confess and forsake it, and we're not going to conceal it any longer. We come clean to you, Lord. And you know, because you know our hearts. But God, forgive us. As we finish this year, Lord, we're going to finish it strong. We're not going to be disconnected from you. We're going to stay connected to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We humble ourselves now, God. We humble our hearts. Forgive us. Help us to do better. Strengthen us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. We don't have to figure it out. We just have to be led by you. The fruit of the Spirit and the love of God. The love, the peace, the joy, the goodness, the long-suffering, the kindness, the meekness, the temperance. Love is not rude, it's not arrogant, it's not boastful, it's not puffed up, it doesn't keep record. When I was a child, I thought as a child, but now to become mature, I've put away childish things. God, let us be mature and forgive us. And if it's anyone, Lord, that we're holding aught against, someone we can't forgive, and then we look at you and you got the nail prints in your hands for what you did for us. And you're saying, tell me why you can't forgive. Because while you were yet sinners, I died for you. While you didn't care about me, I went to that cross for you. God, forgive us for holding grudges against anyone. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers, if you would pass out the, and Darius, if you could take us to 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Thank you, Brother Clarence. Jesus set the model for us. On the night in which he was betrayed, he gave thanks. Think about that, family. You're going to be betrayed and you know it. And you thank God for it. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night, underline the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. God, help us to forgive anyone that's betrayed us. Yes, it hurts, God. Yes, it runs deep. But God, you died for them too, just like you died for my sins. God, and they might deserve what they're getting, God, but I'm going to pray for mercy in the name of Jesus, just like you had mercy on me. Thank you, Lord. And the night in which you were betrayed, you gave thanks. And when you have given thanks, you broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had drank, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you display the Lord's death till he comes. So we recognize, God, that you died on the cross for our sins and you're coming back for us. Or when we transition, we go right into your presence. Either way, God, we win and we're so grateful and so thankful. God, you knew there would be life and death and pink slips and ups and downs. Marriage, divorce, kids, grandkids, parents, craziness in the world. And you said, put your life back in biblical perspective. Do this and don't you forget that I died on the cross for your sins. I'm coming back for you. Be the light, be the salt. Share others about Jesus Christ. You told us, don't forget. That's why we take communion. We'll never forget, God. God, we love you. Thank you that you are a healer, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for healing us. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Heal us, Lord. Heal your people. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. We trust you this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're all I need. Yes. Yes, Lord. Be more than enough of what we need. Elevate that which represents his body. Be mindful that he had to pay a physical price. We're not going to be able to tell God he doesn't understand what it's like to go through pain or to be hurt or to be betrayed or to be beaten or to even have someone we love die. God's going to say, we'll ask God, where were you when my father, my dad died, my kid died? And God's going to say, right where I was when my son died. I feel your pain. It's no excuse for you not trusting me and trusting my salvation plan. God had to watch Jesus be beat. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. To see us being saved and rejoicing and coming to Christ was the joy that was set before him. He knew there'd come a time we'd get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we want to come back home. We want to come to God. And that was the joy that was set before him. He endured that cross, resurrected on that third day, but he did pay a physical price. God understands right where we are. Go and eat that which represents his body. Then elevate that which represents his blood. In the book of Leviticus, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Something had to die in order for something else to be covered and something else to live. Adam and Eve tried to cover with fig leaves, but a sacrifice had to die. And God covered them with animal skins. Something had to die for their sins to be forgiven. Then Christ died once and for all. God, help us not to cover with fig leaves. God, we confess and forsake the sin under the blood of Jesus. That's how the sins are forgiven. Elevate that which represents his blood. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, resurrecting on that third day so we could be rescued from death, hell, sin, and the grave. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go on and drink that which represents his blood. Nothing's impossible. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible. Feet and just lift your hands. You hold my world in your hands. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're all I need. You're my portion.
I believe you're more than enough for me.
Jesus, you're all I need. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life. And that more abundantly. We love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a hug and you are dismissed.